Welcome to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now, here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio. This is Bill Campbell, and on this program, of course, it's our aim to move beyond talking about Christianity to walking more like Christ. And we're doing now part two on the idea of an outbreak in Iraq, but this is not an outbreak of measles or some kind of virus. It's an outbreak of the Spirit of God. We're going to talk, as a foundation was laid last week, on a man whose life was radically transformed by the God-man Jesus Christ. And Selman Hassan is with us in the studio again as we now look at not just his life, but Christians living in Iraq, in the place where ISIS is just dominating, we think, the world scene because it's so much in the media. But even there, the kingdom of God is dominating. And I want you to hear some of these stories. But we didn't quite finish your story, Selman. So welcome back. We want to pick up where you left off. The love of God filled your heart. Here you are as a student, third year in Germany, dying, literally went blind because of the diseases and the cancers in your body, completely, radically healed. And the biggest thing that happened was love filled the heart of a very angry Muslim man. And tell us more. Did you understand? What does this mean? Did you understand it?
Well, in the beginning for me, you know, it was just one thing, you know. I thank the Lord that I'm here again, you know, just try to continue. And I knew one thing, you know, I was dead, literally dead. That's what I say, you know. But then the Lord touched me and healed me. Why he did it, I did not understand, you know. As I said, you know, if you're going to go and check, you know, my lists, I was his enemy, not believing in him, not believing in his cross, not believing in dying on the cross, not believing, you know, not loving his people, not believing in the Bible, but still he did it. and this thing changed my life. Of course, I informed my family, and imagine, you know, a Muslim family, then the imam, you know, the sheikh, you know, he hears this, you know, and my mother was telling me, oh, I will talk to Hallelujah. And my father later, she told me, he was angry with her. Maybe he knew who Hallelujah better than her, you know, because the Lord worked later in my family and he healed many of them. He changed many of them, you see. But the point, look at me then. I am here, going very joyful. Exactly yesterday I was dead, today I'm alive. Running to the doctor because the doctor told me to come next day so I could sign literally my death certificate. This is treatment that never tried before. So imagine I entered his office and he was so shocked. As a German said, was this los? Which means what happened, you know? And you tell him, Hallelujah. And he was so shocked. What is
and
Hallelujah?
You still don't know. He doesn't know. You don't know what it means.
No, I did not know. But so but you know, German doctors, they are very precise. So they take you, you know, and they kept me really 2 weeks, you know, in the hospital analyzing and checking. And then at the end, they came with the conclusion, it must be a miracle. And I said, Hallelujah.
Which they probably didn't put in their books because there's no place in books for miracles.
I mean, literally, you know, they took from my hair, from my skin. And the report says, you have a blood like a baby, which means no infection.
Wow.
You have a skin like a young boy, you know. You have perfect eyes. And you know, the miracle today, because today if we look back, you know, since then, and I'm talking very long time ago, I'm talking since 24th of January 1987.
Wow.
That was over 31 years. I have never been sick. I don't need glasses, you know. I don't have health insurance. I don't need it, you know. And people, this is the testimony. But that was not all. You know, when I came out, I was literally crazy. I want you to imagine me walking in the street and jumping in front of people and shouting Hallelujah. Many people that were thinking that I'm crazy, you know. But I was literally crazy for Christ, you know. Did not know him, but you know, Hallelujah. So as I said, you know, I just went out and I was literally crazy for Christ, you know. I'm just literally was jumping, shouting, telling people, try just to inform everybody what happened to me. And of course, I made maybe the mistake or maybe not. Of course, I was still a Muslim in my mind. I go to mosque. So Friday, I went to the mosque, you know. And of course, everybody, hey, Salman, what happened? And I wanted to imagine in the mosque among all Muslims, and you shout, Hallelujah. And suddenly, everybody was angry looking at me, you know, with such kind of faces. And I did not, what is Hallelujah, you know? there are many of. I said, I told you, what happened is this and this. So I tried to explain. Hey, don't say hallelujah. Say, Allah healed you. And I told him, listen, he was not a Muslim. He was a German, you know. How could Allah heal me? He never said Allah. I said, hey, you are a kafir now. Go out of here. And many spit in my face and they kicked me out of the mosque.
Wow.
Don't come again, they told me. And I could not understand it, you know, because I was happy, loving everybody, trying to tell everybody. But it was, as I said, this is the beginning. I shared this story with many, many people. And I know that the Lord later worked it in the hearts of many people. And he literally pierced their hearts and brought them to repentance, you know. And from my side, you know, I continued my normal life. But then something happened. I wanted to imagine one day I was sitting and eating. And I heard like somebody talking to me. So I turned around literally to the right side, but there was nobody there, you know. And it happened many times, but the problem, even when I look, but it's the voice is continuing, you know, there. So my scientific mind somehow told me to begin writing down what I was hearing. It was not a reality hearing. It was a reality I was there. It was like a film, you know. I wanted to imagine in that time we did not have these, cell phones or these small TVs and so. But it was like that, you know. I was hearing it, but seeing it, living it, you know.
So it was more than just a voice. It was something very real, like a person.
It is a reality for me, you know. And I was literally there, involved with everything happening. So I began writing down everything.
Okay.
In between, you know, I began, because I'm not allowed to go to a mosque. So one day I was walking and I saw a church. And for me, I did not know the denominations. And so I know only, we Muslim, we know a church, Christian, Finnish.
Right.
So where people like that one who prayed for me. So I just entered. Later, you know, I discovered that was, I mean, later, many, many years later, I discovered that was a Catholic church. You know? But I went in there and I was just, everybody there, some man is standing there with a black clothing and a frog. And I was sitting behind and just standing, sitting, some songs they were singing. And after that, they left. So when I left, so I came, everybody shaking the hand of this man with black dress, you know. And I shook his hand and he said, hallelujah. And I shouted, hallelujah. And he looked at me and said, where you come from? I said, from Iraq. I said, are you Christian? I told him, no. He said, how do you know hallelujah?
This is hilarious.
That was the problem for the time when I began telling this priest, you know, about what hallelujah did in my life, you know. And of course he listened, he was very amazed. And then it took a long time. I've been telling people, experiencing many things, sometimes even insults, sometimes even attacks. Muslims, they were very angry with me because I was talking about hallelujah. One day one of those boys, you know, he was smoking, he was drinking, a Moroccan, and when I was talking, he said, hey, you just Jesus, you only talk about, do you know him? And of course my answer was, of course, you know, he was the one who healed me. I know this, I have this. And he just told me like this, no, do you know him? And he just let it hang in there and left. So on my way back, I literally was just questioning myself, you know, whether I know him or not. So I used to do what the Catholic were doing, going on my knees, I like talking to this hallelujah, like this, you know. So I asked the question, Jesus, I want to know you. And then something amazing happened. Suddenly I literally fall down on my face flat on the ground. It was like fire burning in my whole body, but that was not the terrible thing, you know, the terrible thing what was going in my mind. In my mind, I literally saw my whole life. And in everything that I saw evil. No matter which good deeds I was doing, they were all evil. You know, the Lord literally showed me when I was a little boy, maybe one year and 6 months, maybe 2 years. You know, my father went to sleep one day. They have siesta, you know, and he put some money under his pillow. And I just went and picked them up. You see?
I'm just stealing it. So in other words, it's like you first were healed and now you're learning about the sin problem. You're coming to salvation.
Hallelujah. And that's exactly when I was crying and asking for forgiveness. I never did this in my life, not as a Muslim, because Muslim, they believe in fate, that it will happen to you with Allah decided and finished. They don't believe what we call it, you know, the inherited sin from Adam, because they don't believe in that. So I asked literally for forgiveness, and suddenly that I began literally like bubbling. I did not know what I was saying. You know, that was the time when I literally got the mind of Christ. eyes, began to understand things, began to say things. These things that they were, I was hearing about and writing about, they become a reality shortly after that, because then I received a Bible from this Catholic priest with a dedication, you know. It was given to me on the 25th of October 25th, 1988. With a dedication telling me that he prayed that the word of God gonna give me a new life, change my life, and change my ways, you know. So and comforts me. I mean, he wrote it to me, and his name is Priest Heine, you know. And when I began reading, I realized that I know these stories. And one day I picked up my notebook and found out that everything that I have written is a reality here. So I knew that the God of the Bible is the true God.
So you know the stories partly because you lived in the Middle East and you've heard about...
Because God was dictating to me the Bible.
This is what? For all this time, because here we are about a year after you're healed, right? You've been meeting with God, not knowing God, and he's been talking to you.
And I was writing down...
Like in a movie, and you're writing down all the stories he's telling you about the Bible before you've ever read it.
Exactly.
This is such a rare phenomenon. And yet it's the kind of thing happening in the Muslim world. I'm saying this for the listener who is not aware. You know, it's like God is saying, I'm going to reach Muslims in this generation. I'm going to use ISIS, an outbreak of evil, to help people see how bad things are without me, so there will be an outbreak of my kingdom. And what missionaries have tried to do for generations, many giving their lives for the Islamic people, now I'm going to come, as I've already given my life for them, and I'm going to meet them. And he meets them in dreams and visions, and things like this are happening. It's like a tape recorder. He's given you the Bible before you ever read it.
And that was my testimony. Testimony of reality, because Muslim, they cannot argue with me. The man was not a Muslim who prayed for me, was a Christian. The man, he prayed in the name of his God, you know, in the name of Jesus and hallelujah. What I received from this God, you know, it is all written in the Bible. So the Bible is not corrupt. I saw the crucifixion of Jesus Christ with my own eyes.
Wow.
I did not only read these, write these words. No, I saw it. As I told you, it was revealed to me. And I don't want to describe it, because it is more than your body cannot imagine what happened to Jesus Christ.
Can I say to the listener, you have someone you love who you think they're never going, God's not answering my prayers, they're my child, someone I care about, my friend, my husband, whatever, they're never going to come to salvation. Look at how they took Salman and turned his life around. Don't ever say God cannot. Because God can.
Yes, I can tell you so many stories, you know, believe me. The Lord of heaven and earth, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, he reached out, and this is encouragement to everybody who is listening. I wanted to imagine that he touched my mother, he healed her. He touched my nephew, he healed him. He touched my sister. He did a miracle in her life. He touched many of my relatives who wanted to kill me because I converted. He touched my father. And even my father came to the Lord 3 months before he passed away. So the God of miracles, the God of the Bible, he's able, and don't restrict him. I can tell you stories. He appeared to people that cannot read and write, and suddenly they can quote the whole Bible. You know, this is the true God, the living God. So, and my life story, if I continue, he used me in Europe to save so many people. He gave me everything. I was working, you know, in a big ministry. I was in a church, and I met the one who prayed for me. I did not see him nearly for 2 years.
Wow.
It's amazing. God, he has reason. And when I met him, I ran to him. I wanted to tell him something, and he did what Germans would not never do. He hugged me and said, welcome, brother. And I wanted to tell him. He said, come with me. And then he told me, the more I hated him, he was praying for me. When I was sick, he asked the church to pray for me. And that night before waiting for me, he had a vision. The Lord told him, go and stand there. He told him exactly where to stand. He said, pray for him and he will be healed. There was no conditions. Pray and he will be. That's why he was grabbing me, never letting me go. You know that? And I'm glad that this God, you know, told him to. And he did it. And he took me to the church. And it was a small church, and I was...
I need to interrupt you and say to the Christian listening to this program, when God speaks to you, obey Him. Obey Him. You may not understand why He's telling you to do something. This brother obeyed, and he kept loving, he kept praying, and look what's come out of this. So we need to be obedient children.
It is very important, you know. So when this boy, his brother took me with him to the church, I was sitting at the end, you know, like I used to sit with that Catholic church. It was a different church, you know. Anywhere for me, it was just a church, but people got coming there. And then when I was sitting there, then somebody standing there began reading from the Bible. And suddenly everything vanished. I did not see people. I did not see anything. I did not hear that man. I hear that voice who taught me the Bible, who was teaching me the Bible. Wow. It was literally the voice of God. So I knew that I am at the right place. 2 weeks later, I was baptized. And you know what we did? You will not imagine. They took me and with tracts, who is Jesus? And we went back to the mosque where they kicked me out, where they told me don't come back, where they threatened not to kill me. Mm. But that was part of the work of God. Huh. Let me make it short to you if you want. The Lord did so many things, you know.
We're going to take a quick break.
Going back to Iraq then.
Let's take a quick break. And now we're coming into Iraq and we're going to hear about what happened when you went back, leaving Germany, leaving Europe, where, yes, there are Muslims, but now we're going to the heart of it all. And it sounds pretty dangerous to me.
Life is a journey, and when we connect our lives to Scripture, it can be truly amazing. So Scripture Awakening has launched a brand new Bible study series called Be Next, Amazing Journey. Be Next Bible studies answer the what's next question people ask after completing the very popular Bible reading program, Bible in 90 Days, or B90. Be Next Amazing Journey is designed to replicate the successful B90 experience. Be Next studies are designed to be accessible, economical, and flexible. So we offer them in print, video, and digital formats. This month, with your gift of $30 or more, we will send you the Be Next Amazing Journey booklet entitled Reigning Heroes. Go to scriptureawakening.com and click on the banner ad featuring Be Next Reigning Heroes booklet. Go to scriptureawakening.com. Be Next from Scripture Awakening, awakening your world to the power of God's Word.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We're glad you're with us as we're in part two, hearing the story of a really rather incredible man. Well, let me say a normal person like you and me who came to meet the incredible God. His name's Salman Hassan. And he has a ministry in Iraq. You'll hear some about it. But Salman, so what happened? You're now going back home.
Yes, in reality, I didn't want to go back home. I was a professor, you know, I have a house, I have a car, I was not married yet because I was married to the ministry there, you know. We have a big church, we were serving, traveling, going to countries. I visited India, Pakistan, you know, I went to nearly every Muslim country, you know. We were trying to reach out, you know, to those Muslims to tell people about what he did. And I have a very strong, you know, argument, you know. The God of the Bible is the one who healed me. The Bible was revealed to me by this that God, and the thing that he did in during the time since he healed me, they were miraculous. He saved people, he healed people, he touched people, he opened their eyes. And anyway, so, and then this is a moment, you know, of decision. And I like it when you said that people, they should obey God. Because we might not understand what he's saying, but he has always a purpose higher than we imagine. So for me, it was just like that. I know this voice, and this was just told me, give up everything and I will give you everything. I mean, sometimes we try to keep things for ourselves, but God wanted to give literally everything. So I literally gave up everything. I gave my house, my money, my, you know, it's nothing was mine anyways. It was from the, I gave everything to the church.
Yes.
Of course, the elders, they were angry. Hey, brother, you cannot go. It's not from God. Because we are talking about a very terrible time in Iraq history. That was nearly 2 years after the American entered to Iraq and toppled Saddam Hussein, you know. It was a civil war, the Christian being persecuted, churches being bombed. And I wanted the Lord sending me back there. And only the pastor who baptized me, he asked me, he looked me in the eye, said, brother, do you have peace? And I told him, yes. He said, go. And literally, I went, you know. And when I went, I literally entered. I was facing hell. Iraq was not the country that I know. Demonic power, literally, you can brush your shoulders there. People, they were evil. They were not my people. Everything was changing my country. But when I came home, it was terrible to come there. But I arrived home. Everything, destruction, bombing, you hear explosions everywhere, but you come home and you feel there is something, there is this spirit. And to my amazement, God saved, healed my mother, saved my family. Every member in my family was saved. Wow. Without my work, it was the work of the living God, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. And listen, through them, many were saved. Yes, they had harassment. Yes, even relatives, they turned against us and wanted to kill us. But the Lord was doing and even changing those relatives. For me, that was the greatest. And I found my brother, he was working for a Christian organization, the first Christian organization, you know, founded after the fall of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad. He was like in the Red Cross, helping people, the victims of Islamic terror, you know that? And he was wearing white clothes and there's big Red Cross.
So this is before you even came, all this was happening.
I did not know you. I know that my family, things were happening, but they don't tell you because everything monitored, you know, you cannot speak under Saddam Hussein.
Cannot talk about it. Wow.
And I come there and hallelujah. And my brother, I was helping like my brother in the office and going now and then with them to help people because there is no work, there is nothing. And look what happened. You are joyful, but then something happened. They kidnapped my brother and they beheaded him.
Oh, beheaded your brother.
And imagine the one who did it. It was our neighbor. We found out later what happened. It is a tragedy. It is. I mean, you wonder, Jesus, you told me to give up everything and you will give me everything. So what is happening? But then you find out your best friend, the one who's killed. And my cousin, he was elder in the church at that time, imagine. And he came and he was very angry. He said, I will go and kill them all. And it's just like God telling me, no. Brother, we don't do it. We are Christians. We pray. And that Sunday I preached in the church and told them, Jesus told me just this, do you love me? And then he told me, love your enemies. So let us say this man who killed my brothers and my enemy, what am I going to do to him? And the decision is very simple. I have to do what Jesus would have done. I have to forgive him. And then exactly after the service, I went there. Every neighbor was watching and I stretched my hand. And the man was playing with his children, you know. From far away, he said, peace, peace, salam, salam, you know. He was like frightened, but I kissed him and I just told him, you know, I forgive you, you know. I have nothing against you, but I pray for your salvation. And I pray that you will be there where my brother is. I mean, this is literally later I found out what Jesus was doing in my life, changing me, bring me to a higher level in understanding of his love, you know, to love literally the one who beheaded your brother. My brother was married and he had four daughters, you know. And you know what happened?
What?
Two things happened. When I went back, one of the neighbors came and hit me, slapped me, said, you are a coward because if you cannot defend your brother, I can do it for you. I said, no, my God, you know, told me, said, oh, what's your God? We have the same God. I told him, no. And then with this man, I was talking for a long while and he accepted the Lord. And the second thing happened, what? This man who beheaded my brother, one day we were in the church and Saturday the door swung open and he came in weeping and he threw himself literally at the feet of Jesus, at the cross.
Praise God.
And he confessed his sin and he said, I just ask for forgiveness from you and from God, you know. And he was really repentant. We did not report him to the police. Anyway, the police had no power. But today, I could say he's a brother in the church, you know.
Praise God.
And this is how God works, you know that?
A moment to pause for all of us and say, if we hold any unforgiveness in our hearts, it's not from God. And it's locking us down, preventing us from hearing God's voice and doing God's will. We need to let it go. We need to let it go right now. Let go of that unforgiveness in your heart. It's not helping you. It's not from God. Be released in the name of Jesus.
So, you know, let me jump now. You see, things began to happen. I was kidnapped myself and tortured, but I was saved miraculously because at that day, American army and Iraqi army were searching the area, you know, looking for terrorists. So those terrorists, they fled, you know, and they left us there. So I was, me and few other were saved. Many were killed. So that was the beginning. Then one day they came, I went out from house and then I saw those Muslim with mask and machine guns, you know, and they just told me, you go, just like this. And you turn around and you see this, you know, end for Nazarene, you know, on our...
The symbol they put in all the doors.
On our wall, you know, which means that we have to go, or we were lucky they allowed us to go because my neighbor, he was arguing with them. They shot him dead in front of my eyes. So I wanted to imagine to go. I am not alone. I am with a big family. We were 10 members. My brother was killed. So we are 9 brothers and sisters, all married. They have children and the mothers, and we have aunts and others because the house of the Sheikh, everybody was there. And we had to go. But the miracle is you go out, you don't know where, and you leave everything behind. And then a truck passes by, and he stops. He said, where do you want to go? He said, anywhere. And the miracle is not the truck. The miracle is what happened after that. So you just imagine 100 people plus going up in this truck, and he's driving. He was going to Kirkuk. It is nearly 250 miles northeast of Baghdad, in a war zone. It's checkpoints and terrorists controlling the highways, and the American army, the Iraqi army, and you don't know who is who. And the miracle is you go through all of that. Don't forget, we lost everything. Our whole past is erased. We have no IDs, no pass, no money, nothing. We were only with our clothes. And the Lord brought us safely to Kirkuk.
Wow.
That's my God. You know, I want people to understand that it is always Him. It's His way, not your way. You know?
Yes.
It's important to trust in Him. And listen now, I can tell you other things, but let me make it very short. In Kirkuk, the promise of the Lord became true. Listen, I was kidnapped again. Yes. I was kidnapped the third time. Yes. But I wanted to imagine that while your kidnappers, you went to kill you, everything vanishes, becomes light. And those kidnappers, the one who want to shoot you, was literally pushed backward. Somebody was pushing him.
Or an angel. Yeah.
No, the Lord Himself.
The Lord Himself.
Because look, what this man was left to that was running naked with the others in the streets, and they caught him. The American caught him, and some of those Iraqi army, and they followed the traces, you know, with the clothes and the weapons, and they found me. I was the only one who was there. That was my God. And then the Lord fulfilled what He promised. Every one of us, He has His own house, His own job, His own business, His own money.
So you've all...
Every one of us from my family, including me. And then later, many people were saved through us in Kirkuk. But then the Lord took me to Erbil. This is the capital of the Kurdish region in Iraq. And we established a mission house in 2009 and began helping Christian refugees and reaching out to Muslims.
So we're going to have to stop here because of our time. But to think that this ministry is now just opened up in Iraq, the last place in the world you would think about it, because God is there. This should bring joy to our hearts and confidence as we walk in the steps of the Lord. Thank you, Salman.
I thank the Lord. You know, I pray that everybody who is listening to this, it is not my voice, it is the voice of the Lord. I want to tell him, come to me. I will heal you. I will save you. I will give you everything. I will take care of all you need. I am the living Christ, and the time is short when I come again. I hope that you have the ticket in your hand, because heaven is open.
Amen. Thank you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.